Hi, and welcome back to Faith-Fueled Living. This is your host, Kristen. Today, I have a great conversation to share with you. I talked to singer-songwriter and new author, Jamie Jamgoshian, and we are talking about her new book, Sacred Surrender. And we're going to talk about what it's like to be waiting on God to act in our lives. And we're going to talk about how can we actually be prepared in taking action through those seasons. This is an honest, it's a heartfelt conversation, and I think it'll just inspire you, encourage you, no matter what you're walking through right now or whatever you're waiting on God for. Welcome to Faith-Fueled Living, the podcast that equips you to live well spiritually, emotionally, physically, and purposefully. Each week, we'll dive into conversations and biblical truths to help you strengthen your faith, pursue meaningful work, care for your whole self, and live aligned with what matters most. Hi, today on the podcast, I am so excited to welcome our guest, Jamie Jamgoshian. She is a Dove Award-nominated singer-songwriter, a worship leader, and now author of her new debut book, Sacred Surrender, The Practice of Waiting Well with God. And she is coming to us even from her current tour. So she is fitting it all in, talking about her book and all the things we're going to talk about in that book. But she also continues over the years to fill our hearts and our ears with her beautiful music. And I'm just so impressed with all the things she's doing in the world and that she still came and shared her heart in this book. So, Jamie, I can't wait to talk about how we can live purposely and purposely while waiting in God while we do it, because all of us have waiting seasons. So I'm excited to get into this with you today. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Thanks. Can you just tell us a little bit? I mean, I shared a little bit about your life, but maybe just share with us a little bit about your story, and then we'll jump into some conversation.
Absolutely. So I grew up loving music. I had some pretty bad learning disabilities as a child, and my parents found as soon as I started playing the piano, everything just kind of clicked in my brain, and it turned on the other side to be able to learn. And that began my love for all things music. I ended up going to Berklee College for jazz piano. I was singing in the bars, the cruise lines. When God got a hold of my life, I was 21. I'm a first generation Christian. And it was the first time I heard the gospel. I remember a friend in class gave me a cassette tape with one song on it, Shout to the Lord. I put that music on. I had never experienced worship. I had never experienced the presence of the Lord. I had really never heard the gospel presented. And I just began to weep. I felt his presence so strong, and I felt this sense like, this is what you've been created to do, but it made no sense. I'm like, okay. So then the next week, that same classmate gave me a Bible. She ended up leading me to the Lord. And at 21, I gave my heart to Jesus. And that was my first test of surrender, because all of my peers are moving to New York, LA to pursue musical endeavors and dreams. I had some really cool career things going on, but God said, lay it down, move to Seattle. And that's where I ended up attending a 2-year Bible school at an incredible church. That's where I got introduced to praise and worship, how to lead people in worship. I loved it. I thought that was going to be my life, leading worship at a great, thriving church. But God knows when we lay something down, he has a way of bringing it back around. And before I know it, I'm signing my first Christian record deal as a young 25-year-old, which moved me here to Nashville, where I've been 20 plus years just recording. I have 7 albums out. I'm a one-hit wonder baby, had one song go number one. And my heart really is women's ministry. So I've been doing a lot of that the last 10 years, and just released my first book, Sacred Surrender, which I know we're going to dig into. But that's just a little bit about me.
Yeah, so beautiful. And, you know, I love that you can, you know, you're still doing the singing and the touring, but you also combine your beautiful voice and your love of music with a lot of your ministry. I mean, it is a ministry, but you also are doing it when you go and talk to, I know you have a heart for teen or young adult girls. And so I love that you can bring that gift and then also the gift of going and talking to them about basically, you know, knowing Christ and deepening that relationship. So it's just awesome. And what a beautiful woman inside and out to go and do that, you know, so such an inspiration. So before we dig into some of the stories and the topics in the book, do you want to just share with us a little bit about why did you write this and why now?
Yeah, this really was a God obedience thing. When I went through a health crisis in 2019, where I could barely function. I didn't know what was wrong. I had the worst neurological headache. It was an infection called Lyme disease. So it wasn't just a normal headache. My brain was filled with this bacteria and Babesia and Borrelia, all this Lyme infection. And we didn't know for a while. And that was the hardest season of my life. And it was out of that season, I received my healing, that God started speaking to me about a new album. And isn't it funny how when you think everything is dead and dormant, I mean, everything was stripped away. It was such a humbling season. And the Lord just began to renew my vision for music ministry, for speaking. And when I got back to Nashville, I started writing, and all the songs had the same theme of letting go, releasing, trusting God, letting Him really have the final say in our lives. And so these songs were written. I got signed to a new label. This album, Sacred Surrender, was released. Songs out now. Some few of the songs have been on the radio in the last few years. And really, it was God pushing me out to write a book. This isn't a dream of my heart or anything like that. I like to read, but I never wanted to be an author. And I got approached by a publisher in Colorado, and they reached out and they said, "Have you thought about writing a book?" And I laughed. I said, "I'm a songwriter. I think you have the wrong girl." And they said, "No, we've been following you for years. We think you have a book in you." And you know, I remembered a few times, Kristen, where that was spoken over my life by different people. We see a book, we see a book. And I think it's so important that we come out of agreement with any limiting beliefs or ungodly beliefs, because in my mind, I'm like, no, I dealt with learning issues. I'm not a book writer. Like I said, I sing, I write songs. But God really challenged me. I ended up getting a literary agent, and she so believed in the message and the heart of this book that she then did her things. We ended up signing with a different book publisher. And so it really, honestly, this book is obedience to me. It's saying yes to God. And I still, like this morning, I got to go to my local Barnes and Noble, and I'm like, is this real? Like, I have a book in Barnes and Noble. It has not hit me yet. And it's exciting, but when it's not like your identity or you know, it's just, I really pray that this is a tool and a resource for people who feel stuck in the in-between and the waiting, who feel like they're kind of surrendered, but not completely surrendered. My prayer is that this book will help unlock something in your heart and in your spirit to truly live the abundant life that Jesus calls each one of us to.
Oh, absolutely. I love that. Yeah. I mean, I think in a couple of the things that you talk about in the book, you know, one is definitely surrendering, right? And kind of, if God's plans are so much better for us, even when we don't see it, even when we don't understand it, even when we're waiting, instead of our own plans. And so you even hearing those words of people speaking to you, like, I think you have even more than just, not that songwriting and singing isn't enough, but you, like, you even have this in you. And, you know, you had to kind of allow that to sit there and simmer and see what God was going to do with it. So first of all, I love that you share that, because I definitely talk to women a lot and talk on the podcast about some of the things you talk, something you talk about in your book, which is, are we going after the things that make us come alive? Like, God gave us that gift. And while you might not think it's a book and it might not be for somebody else, it's, are we creating legacy? Are we doing what God's asking us to do? And sometimes it's sharing our story in a different way, right? Right. And so that's what you did with the book, right? You're bringing it to audiences that may not have be familiar or may not see you at one of your shows or tours or your talking events. And so you can reach a wider audience, which is bringing glory to God, right? In a new way. So first of all, I want to encourage the listeners on that, you know, that's really the crux of what you just said. The other thing is you talk obviously about your own story. You talk about some of the things you're still waiting on in your life. And yet we can still find the joy. We can still know that God has a even more beautiful story for us, even when we're not there and we don't see it on the other side. So what would you want to share with us about that message?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, waiting is one of the most hashtag things on Instagram. And I think it's because we're all waiting on something, right? Maybe you're waiting to be married. Maybe you're waiting for a child to come back to the Lord. Maybe you're waiting on your body to be healed, a career, a dream come true. I don't know what you're waiting on, but something I have found is we can either wait on our circumstance or we can wait on our Creator. And when we posture our heart to truly wait on the Lord, to seek Him in everything, to stay so tethered and in step with Him, where we're obeying Him day by day, those things that we're waiting on really grow dim. You know, there's that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. When we look full in the light of His glory and His face, things of earth, the desires, sure, they're still there. I'm not going to make light of that. They're real. They're there. But it's no longer the focus, the thing you're waiting for. It's the person you're waiting on. And as believers, we're waiting on the Lord. And I hope to instill that through this message, that some of our dreams will come true, but some of them won't. And just because we're a believer doesn't mean that God's up there like a genie in the bottle. Oh, she wants this. Let's do that. Oh, he wants that. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is, I was saved. I no longer live. It's Christ who lives within me. So God, I want to partner with you with what your plan is for my life and go down those roads. So it's really a challenge to the church, to women, to men in the church, to rise up and to see our waiting seasons as preparation. If we're lucky, we have what, 90, 100 years here, earthside. Yeah. Our real living, this isn't home. Our real living is in heaven. So let's steward this season, waiting on the Lord well for the things that do come to pass, the things that don't come to pass. So we are prepared and ready for what's ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing I do want to mention is, you talk about sometimes in our waiting, some of the things aren't, you know, God does say no or not yet to us, but sometimes there are things that we have the power to actually move forward on a dream God's given us or on something we want to go do. And you talk about, you know, you had to realize that you could start making a list of those God dreams of things that you've wanted to do and see which of these am I waiting on God for? And I need to be faithful and wait. But which ones of these could I actually do because they're in my power and God's not saying no? And so I think that's a good reminder, especially as we, you know, get into our 30s or 40s, 50s or beyond, which is what that really is it's faith plus action, right? Like some things you can't make happen, much like having a baby. Sometimes that doesn't work out, or sometimes it doesn't work out yet, or you lose your job, right? And so you don't know what's next. Okay, those things, you may be in that season, but there are other things that we can go and start taking action, because God doesn't say only wait, right? He says, you also need to be faithful and show me your faith in action before he'll move sometimes. And so, you know, was there anything you'd just say about that? Because I think sometimes we hold back ourselves, or we don't put ourselves out there for something because we think, I'm afraid, you know, and I know you talk about fear in the book and what happens when we do that. So what would you just share with us about that?
Yeah, you just nailed that. I feel like you just beautifully summarized, I think it's chapter 4, because waiting isn't something passive. We actually actively wait, and there's preparation in your waiting. So, I mean, honestly, I really think it comes down to hearing the voice of the Lord. And that's where, like, asking him daily, what's the part I play in this? Yeah, I can't. I mean, I could go get, you know, I want to say this right. I really want to be married and have a child, right? Sure, I could make that happen in the natural, so to speak, if you know what I mean. But yes. I'm trying to say this right. But I also know if I wait and trust in God's way and his timing and do things in a biblical sense, it's going to be blessed. It's going to be honored. Now, has the wait been long in that area? Yes. So what do I do in the meantime? And you just nailed it. You just basically said it. You start living. You live the abundant life. You book the dream trip, even if you go solo or with a best friend. You do the things that are within your capacity to do, partnering with the Holy Spirit. If God says go, you go. If he says wait, you wait. If he says stay put, you stay put. But it's this beautiful partnership while you're waiting with the Lord. We're not just waiting for, I don't just think the next Uber Eats guy that shows up to my door is going to be my holy hottie, right? Maybe, I don't know. I do like pizza, but, you know, I'm asking the Lord daily, do I need to get on a dating app? Do I need to go to a certain place? Oh, you want me to go to that conference? So how do we partner with the Lord and use our waiting seasons well is the whole message of this book. And even with, you know, God's put calling and purpose and dreams on our life, which are for a reason. How do we partner with him well to steward whatever that is that he's put in our hands. And I think it's the greatest adventure ever. Close to Jesus every day. Okay, day, God, today, what's on the docket for today? Where do I need to go? What do I need to do? And I mean, I think that is where you really live the full abundant life, even in the season of waiting.
Absolutely. It's so beautiful. Okay. So what would you just like to share with us? Maybe just a few additional encouraging words, just to encourage the listeners. You know, you've shared some of the messages of the book, you know, and shared a little bit about your life and your story. Any other encouraging words you want to share?
Yeah, I think as we're having this conversation, I think what it really does boil down to, and something we all need to work on to truly surrender, we have to trust the person that we're surrendering to, right? So in this case, we're talking about surrendering to God. So you can't surrender to God if you are not acquainted with who he is, his nature, his character. If you grew up and maybe your dad was an angry, bitter, mean, critical father, sometimes what happens is we translate that onto our heavenly father, onto God. So then we're viewing him as mean and critical and holding out, and we're on eggshells. But we actually have to get to know the heart and nature of who God is. Well, how do we do that? We do that by falling in love with his word and being in the word. We see that he's actually kind. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's rich in love. He calls us to repent. He calls us, yes, he convicts for us to change, but he never puts shame or guilt on us. So I think the first step for anybody who really wants to live this beautiful, abundant, sacred, surrendered life, it's really doing some heart work and knowing what you believe about God. Who is he to you personally? What are some ungodly beliefs that you need to come out of agreement with and into agreement with who he is and who he says you are? We talk about a lot of that, renewing the mind in the book, the words we speak, the thoughts we think, because it's all internal. And you know, you're going to live the kind of life that you think from your viewpoint. You're going to live the kind of life with the words you carry. So make sure you're choosing those, well, good thoughts, good words, and make sure they are anchored in the word of God. So that's something that I'm real passionate about, is seeing, in particularly women, really know who they are in Christ, really know their identity, really know what God says, not what the world says. What does God say? And then let's live out in that place and live a surrendered life where, sure, there's hard seasons, there's great seasons, but no matter the season, we are open-handed saying, God, not my will, your will be done in me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. So last question, what is fueling you right now in this season, right? October, November season. It can be, you know, something with your faith, or it can be something else that's just you're loving right now.
Ooh, that's such a good question. I think God always sets things up, right? Divinely. And a few years ago, my pastor, Pastor Alex is the female, and Henry, they're married. She said, we just need to get a small group together for a prayer team for them. So one of my dear friends is heading it up, and there's like seven of us, I think. And that has become some of the best buddies, the best community. It's just brought so much life. Yes, we get together, we pray for our pastors, we pray for the church. But I think God knew we needed each other. And yeah. So what it's done is it's created this rich community. We just had my book launch party last week. And just to see them all on the front row cheering me on, I think what's fueling me is just this rich community that I have right now, especially, you know, when you're putting something new into the world, there's a lot of emotion and feeling that goes with that. And when you're on the road and you're only home a couple days a week, having those people that really know you, that you can trust, it's been beautiful. So that's something that's really bringing me life right now.
Oh, that's great. And you're right. Community is so important. And we live in a time where it's easy to pull away from real community, right? In-person community. So that's beautiful. Okay. So Jamie, tell us, where can people find out more about the book, more about your music, and just connect with you, you know, or follow you online?
I love that. I do love to connect with people. I always say, until I'm married, I have a lot of time to connect. So Facebook, Instagram, it's just my full name, J-A-I-M-E. Not only do I have a hard last name, my parents spelled my first name, J-A-I-M-E, Jamgoshian, J-A-M-G-O-C-H-I-A-N. Facebook, Instagram, and then my website's jamiejam.com. If you are a music lover, come to Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, YouTube. The book is available. I can't believe I keep saying this. The book is available wherever you like to buy books. Or if you're one of the people that prefer to listen to it, you can get it on Audible. But I really do enjoy connecting with people. So come find me. And my prayer is that this book really ministers to people that are in heartbroken seasons and those who are waiting. Maybe you know someone that's kind of in a hard, long waiting season. Pick up a copy, gift it to them. I had the coolest testimony a few days ago from someone who sent it to a non-believer, and she's opening up to the Lord. And I love that. So I'm praying that this is a tool that draws people closer to Jesus.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you for writing it. Thank you for sharing your heart with us, and have a great rest of your tour and your book tour as well.
Thank you, Kristen. I love being on your podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I want to wrap up today's episode with a few words from author Emily P. Freeman from her book, A Million Little Ways. She says, showing up doesn't necessarily imply readiness or preparation or an invitation even. Showing up has simple implications. You are dressed. You are moving into the day. You have willing hands and an open heart. You are here. It's true. It might not be the right time to do a certain thing, pursue a particular endeavor, or make a final decision. You may be in the middle of a long period of waiting, something we'll talk about in the next chapter, but a lot of times we confuse readiness with courage. And then she says, we think that because we don't feel courageous, it means we aren't ready to show up. But courage is not the absence of fear. If you wait to feel courageous before you release your art, you might be waiting forever. When it comes to courage, we're often looking for the wrong emotion. And I would just explain that while there's periods of waiting, or we're waiting on God to send us into something new, to align what he has for us next, but it's not yet, she's saying we should still be courageous and do what he is calling us to do, even when we don't feel ready. Much like Jamie and I talked about, sometimes we still have to be brave. We still have to keep living our lives, even in waiting seasons. Now, maybe we're waiting on what the right decision is, or maybe we're waiting on the next thing, or we're waiting on a promise or a prayer that we're asking God for. But in that, we're still asked to partner with him in our daily lives and in the work we do, in the craftsmanship we do, in the way we love the people around us, and in the way we go after these God-sized hopes and dreams we have for our lives. And so I would just leave you with the question, what is it that I can do today or this year, or I can move towards a future vision I have for what God wants for me to work in and on, that I can take that next little step and be obedient in one direction? Also, don't forget, if you have not already signed up for my email newsletter and joined our community, head over to kristenfitch.com and you can grab one of my free workbooks as a gift from me. I have a Reignite Your Passion workbook if you're somebody that just needs to feel more confident to step into the things that are on your heart to do. Or I have a 15-day joyful living devotional that you can download. But come be a part of the community. Let me also encourage you and inspire you each week and through email as well. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you could leave a rating review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, it helps the show get discovered by more people so that we can continue to uplift and encourage people in their faith journey as well as all of the other parts of their lives.